Last week we talked about something that's called the PATH principle. In order for you to get to where you want to be, you have to know what? Where you're going. We talked about that. And we are, eighth days into a new year. Anybody having a good year so far? Good. You know, for those of you not keeping track of important things, I have, of course, there's 251 shopping days till Christmas. 351, so you know. But let me tell you this, you are 8 days into the new year, are you going in the right direction? You know, unfortunately, some people will say to me, you know, I won't know I'm going in the right direction until I get there. Now, isn't that an interesting concept? I won't know if I'm going in the right direction until I what? Until I get there. Remember I told you last week, what one Yogi Berra had said, if you don't know where you're going, be careful, because guess what? You'll wind up there. The story in Alice in Wonderland. Opening scene is a junction of a road that leads to different directions. And seeing the Cheshire Cat, Alice asked him for advice. Would you tell me, please, which way I ought to go from here? Well, that depends a good deal on where you're going to get to, said the cat. I don't much care, said Alice. Well, then it doesn't really matter which way you go, said the cat. Where do you want to wind up? In 2017, at the end of this year, first day next year, will you wind up where you want it to be, or will you wind up where you happen to be? You have to decide. Life is choices. How many know life is full of choices? The question I have for you today is, it seemed right at the time. How many could say it seemed right at the time? The country western song I love to tell people about, that coulda, woulda, shoulda. Oh, what I coulda done. Oh, what I woulda done. If only I what? Should have done. Oh, what I coulda done. Oh, what I woulda done. If only I what? Should have done. Are you going in the right direction? Because it always seems what? Right at the time. How many of you have ever seen right at the time and found out later, dumb choice? How many said this to yourselves, I'm never going to do that again? How many said that two or three times? Right? Two or three times you said the same thing. Said the same thing. If you don't want to go any place in particular, then what road is good to take? Anyone you want, right? I mean, if you have no place to go, you have no goals, you have no aspiration, you have no anything in life, what road does you have to take? Doesn't matter. Because you'll wind up there, isn't that true? But if you want a better life, and you want a better relationship with your family, you want a better relationship with your spouse, you want to have a better financial relationship with your family, you want to do that, you have to choose which direction you're going to go in, right? So many people will say to me, well, it's not my fault. Oh, really? How many's ever said that? Not my fault. Not my fault. Oh no, it's your fault. How many's ever looked in the mirror and seen your problem? True. And so if you don't know where you're going, as the cat said, it doesn't matter which way you go. Sissy and I and my family, you know, we always go down south, Myrtle Beach normally, but this year we decided to go someplace different. Where'd we go, Sissy?
Emerald Isle.
That's right. I got a hat that says that, don't I? Emerald Isle. And when you start out going someplace, you got to have to know what road to take, right? Now, when we go down to Myrtle Beach or down in South Carolina, we have choices. One of the ways that we can go, for those of you that travel south, you know this, one of the ways you can do is go down 79, right? And you go through West Virginia for millions of miles. Right? You get up on top of that by that Dairy Queen, be very careful up there, right? And then you get to go, you know, down 70 and all that kind of stuff, and finally, you know, wind up in Myrtle Beach. Another way to go is through Winchester, Virginia. You go to the turnpike, you get off at Breeze, when you go through Winchester, and then you go on 95. How many's ever been on I-95? It's kind of like the old song. I-95 was the route you were on, it wasn't the speed limit sign. And you wind up on I-95 outside of Washington, D.C., you better have some spare time on your hands. Is that not true? How many's ever driven the dreaded I-95 during traffic? The dreaded I-95, right? And so you have two choices. You can go I-95 or 79. And you start to flip the coin. And you start to say to yourself, well, you know, we're leaving a little early in the morning. Maybe we won't miss that traffic. Maybe we'll just scoot past that I-95 debacle before, you know. How many's ever chosen I-95 and found out it doesn't matter when you go? Right? Well, now down in I-95, they have an access. You can use your little easy pass. You scoot right down most of the traffic, right? Did you know that if I go 79 north to Erie, I'm not going to get to Myrtle Beach? No, I really won't. If I get on I-79 and I go north, I'm not going to get to Myrtle Beach. Is that true?
Yeah.
If I get on the turnpike and I go west, I'm not going to wind up in Myrtle Beach. Isn't that true? Now, I suppose that there are some of us in this room that have a lot of free time on your hands. You might say to yourself, you know what? Let's just get on the turnpike and just go. But where are you going to go? Doesn't matter. We got a lot of spare time. Let's just go. But maybe there's some of you that can do that. Maybe some could just flip a coin and say, hey, let's find out where we go. Maybe you can do that. But I'm telling you, in life, that's not a good choice. That's not a good choice. I don't have a care how much time you have, but if you make the wrong choice, how many's ever heard about the stories of people getting on the interstate going in the wrong direction in the wrong lane? That always ends up bad, don't it? I mean, if you're going north in a southbound lane, saying, boy, this is pretty good. Look at all that traffic over there. Wait, they seem to be going in the same direction as me. How many know that's always going to wind up in the wrong way? Did you know in life you could be going the wrong way too? I mean, you really, truly can. Let's look at a passage of Scripture. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to Proverbs 14:12.
There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death.
In the beginning, it always seems like it's the right thing to do. Even the most dumbest things that we do seems right at the time. If it doesn't seem right, I'm going to have to ask you, then why did you do it? When it comes to a choice in life, when you have to make a left or a right in your mind, and you say to myself, you know, I knew that was the wrong way to go. I knew that was the dumbest thing in the whole world that I should do, but I did it anyhow. Who's going to tell me that in this room? If you tell me that in, you know, really truly, if you tell me I knew it was wrong, before I did it I knew it was wrong, I knew it's going to have bad consequences, but I did it anyhow. Counseling will start for you on Monday night, 7 o'clock. No, the reason why we chose the wrong path is A, we didn't know it was the wrong path when we chose it. B, we didn't listen to somebody who told us that was the wrong road before we chose it. C, you didn't ask the Lord which way to go.
Amen.
It's the truth. And some people will say, well, you know what? You should have stopped me. Oh, really? The Lord God Himself couldn't stop you. You have free will. You can do whatever you want. How many's been doing whatever you want too long? Anybody been on the wrong road too long? How many of you knew you were on the wrong road, but you said, oh, well, I'm on the wrong road, might as well keep on going?
Yeah.
Right? Why don't you turn around? When you know that you're going in the wrong direction, chances are pretty good you ought to turn around, right? I mean, I could be going to Myrtle Beach and get on I-79 and go north by mistake, right? And I'm driving up I-79, I'm saying to myself, man, this doesn't look familiar. But I said, oh, well, hey, maybe I wasn't paying attention, right? And I see a sign. The sign says, 2 miles to Erie. Maybe I should say to myself, oh my goodness, you know what? I'm going in the wrong direction. Instead of saying, boy, they must have flipped that sign around or something. How many know you think they flipped the sign around, right? It's true. It's absolutely true. And so what's the scripture says? There's a way that appears to be right, but what happens? It leads to death. Hindu scripture says this. You know, with what I do, where I work, I'm in charge of spiritual care, not pastoral care. Should we understand the difference? Where I work, I'm in charge of what? Spiritual care, which means what? Everybody in the way they choose to practice their faith. Everybody kind of get that? All right. There's a passage in the Hindu scripture, and this is what it reads. There are hundreds of paths that lead up to the mountain, all leading in the same direction. And so it doesn't really matter what path you take. The only one wasting time is the one who runs around and around the mountain telling everybody else they're going in the wrong direction. That sounds pretty good, doesn't it? We run that by you one more time. In the Hindu scripture called the Vasishtha, it says that all roads, all paths lead up to the top of the mountain. Now, what does that mean? All paths lead to God. That's what the Hindu scripture says. All paths lead to the top of the mountain. It doesn't really matter which one you take. The only one wasting their time is the one that runs around the bottom of the mountain telling everybody else what? It's the wrong way. Do you believe that?
No.
How many believe there's only one path?
One path.
But if you run around not knowing which way you're going to go, how do you know you're going in the right direction? Did you know in Christianity there are a bunch of different practices that tell you there's a whole bunch of roads to get there? Did you know that? Did you know there's a whole bunch of doctrines in the realm of Christianity and they disagree? How can we disagree on basic fundamental truths? I have a hard time. I'm simple-minded that way. I guess the older I get, the simpler-minded I become. How many say amen to that? How many of you would get a 50% discount on a brain scan? And you know, when God says it, I believe it. How many believe it? Jesus says, I am the way. Andy, are you getting a discount today? Check's in the mail. Charge you too much. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. It doesn't matter what everybody else's doctrine is. What path are you on today? Sissy knows this about me. I love to watch the Discovery Channel. Anybody watch the Discovery Channel? Like, I'm really not interested in some of that. Discovery Channel, love it. How many have seen that one where they drop the guy off in the wilderness? He's like MacGyver, right? How many seen it? You drop him off like in the middle of nowhere. And this guy can make fire out of damp wood. This guy can eat grubs and no chocolate. This is incredible. He's like John the Baptist, right? But what he said was, it's easier to go up the mountain than it is to come down. Now, I need you to think about that for just a second. You see, he said it's safer going up than it is coming down. He said the reason why that is so, on the way up, you don't really know where you're going. And so you have to choose your path very carefully. Help me understand that. But when you reach the summit of the mountain and you start back down, you think you know where you're going. And if you're not careful, as careful coming down as you were going up, bebopping down that mountain, you may step off of a cliff and kill yourself. The problem with some of us is we think we know it all. I can do this life thing with my eyes closed. I've been practicing my faith so long. You know, the Lord is my shepherd, thanks, but I don't need you today. Go shepherd somebody else. I know where I'm going. Do you? Do you really know where you're going? Oh, you're going. But do you know where you're going to wind up? That's an interesting question, isn't it? Let's go to Proverbs 16:25.
There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death.
Go back down the other one. Read that one again.
There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death.
Go up to the next one.
There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death.
I must have made a typo. How many think I made a typo? How many think it's in there twice? Sissy?
Read it.
It's in there twice. No, verbatim. Word for word, dot for dot. Verbatim. Why do you think the wisest man that ever lived listened to that twice?
It's important.
I think it's pretty important, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty important, right? How many have been told twice in life and still didn't pay attention? Which, yeah. How many know what it's like to have a fresh, out-of-the-oven chocolate chip Toll House cookie with the chocolate still melting on the... And how many said, it can't be that hot? How many know what it's like to have steaming hot chocolate in the roof of your mouth? And how many have suffered like for a day because you couldn't taste anything after that was over? How many know what I'm talking about, right? How many did it more than once? There I go. There's a strong-willed kids right there. How many still do it today? You'll take a chance on it. You know you're here. You know you're here. Right? And that's why we are known as sheep. Because we just don't get it. We don't get it. There was a man whose bathtub was pretty filthy. I'm serious, and he had to clean it. And you know, he got all that scrub and bubble stuff. How many use that scrub and bubble stuff? How many know that scrub and bubble stuff only works on a brand new tub? True? Sissy, I'm trying mine, right? Scrub and bubbles, man, I take, you know, one of them scouring pads and a big stick. You know, I'm serious. How many, that soap scum's hard to get off, right? So a guy decided he had heard that gasoline was a solvent. And so he took gasoline, poured it in a tub, cleaned it off, and it worked. So I'm letting all of you know who try and scrub them bubbles. It doesn't work that great, but gasoline worked great. It cleaned the whole tub. The only trouble was it left a gas. How many anybody ever spilled gas on yourself?
Yeah.
How about you're pumping gas, you're stepping gas and putting it in your car? How many's ever done that? Boy, that thing stays around forever, right? Well, this guy, and it's a true story, he cleaned the bathtub. Man, it cleaned it like spick and span, but there was like a really bad aroma. So he decided to get a pumpkin spice candle. The good news is he survived. The bad news is he needed a new bathroom. How many understand? It seems right at the time. I mean, it just makes so much sense. What? At the time. It just, how could things possibly go wrong? Let's go to Proverbs 12:15.
The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice.
I realized something really interesting in my career, that most of the time when I counsel people, they're really counseling me. It's a weird thing. I mean, they call me on the phone and they'll make an appointment with me or where I work, and I'm counseling somebody. Debbie, you know, you're counseling people, right? And I'm not counseling them. Guess what they're trying to do? Counsel me. They're trying to convince me that what they're telling me is right. And all they really want is affirmation. That's all they want. They want me to agree with them, say, hey, you're right. Oh, I knew I was right. And then the reality of it is, it says pretty clearly there, right? The fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. How many of you in this room would say to me, you know, I should have listened at least one time in my life? If you would say to me, you know what, I got the advice. If I had paid attention to it at the time, my circumstances might be different today. How many can say that in this room? Right? Had I had listened, Had I paid attention, had I made a different choice based upon what? The advice of someone else, I may not be in the situation I'm in today. How many say that's true? Think about that. And we're at least in our 20s here, right? We're at least in our 20s. And I'm going to ask you a question. In 2017, are you going to get advice? Now, the question isn't going to be hearing it. The question is, are you going to listen to it? Are you going to act on the advice of someone who has already done what you are about to do?
Yes.
I hope so. How many of you know there are people that are smarter than you? I know that's a bubble-bursting experience for you. Because I know that there are, like Layla, she's 13. Layla is the smartest 13-year-old girl I know. Right, Layla? And if you're not sure that's right, just ask her. How many know 13, 14, 15-year-olds, they know everything, right? How many of you knew everything too? How many forgot most everything you ever knew? It's true, right? But there are people that live through these situations. And you see, you know, go ask somebody who's been there what happened to them. And ask their advice. Ask them the situation in life. You need to be able to seek advice. Well, what's a fool do? Seems right to them. It seems right to them. Let's go to Romans 6:21.
I think we skipped one, Paul.
I skipped one. Well, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah. Okay.
Do that one then, Harm. That's a good one.
All right. All right. Good answer. A person may think their own ways are right, but the Lord weighs the heart.
Why do you do what you do? When you make a choice, why do you do what you do? Did you know the Lord God knows why you did what you did? I love to tell the story about Billy Graham. Billy Graham one time was in a church, beginning of his career, right, Sissy? And they were passing an offering plate, kind of like here, right? Passing an offering plate. And the offering plate came by, and Billy reached in his pocket, and he dropped in the money. And the offering plate went that way, then that way. He turned to his wife and said, hey, hurry up and get that offering plate back. Well, why, Billy? Why do I want to do that? And Billy said, because I dropped in a $50 bill, and I meant to drop in the $5 bill. Get your offering plate back. And his wife said to him, don't worry about it, Billy. God knows what you wanted to put in anyhow. Think that through. Don't worry about it, Billy. God already knew what you wanted to put in there. Did you know God knows your hearts? I tell the praise team all the time, be careful what you're doing up here because God knows the reason why. Is that true?
Yes.
Be very careful when you want to sing because God knows what? Why? Help me understand what I just told you. Be careful when you want to preach because God knows what? He knows why. He knows what's inside your heart, right? Can I go to the next one now, Herm? Okay, go ahead. Just check. Romans 6:21.
Okay. What benefit did you reap at that time from the things you are now ashamed of? Those things result in death.
I want you to contemplate that. What benefit did you reap at the time you did it that now you're ashamed of because you got it? I'll repeat that one more time. What benefit did you receive when you chose to do whatever you chose to do, or what benefit did you receive when you went where you decided to go, and now that benefit that you received embarrasses you because you got it? Anybody have one of those in your life? Wouldn't it be really good if God only let you have free will when you make good choices?
Yeah.
How many love free will like that?
Yeah.
You know, hey, when I the Lord says, okay, look, this is the way it works. You can choose what you want to do as long as I agree. As long as it's good for you. But when you choose to go off the path, I'm bringing you back. Wouldn't that be great? But guess what it wouldn't be? Free will. So what benefit? What benefit did you receive at the time of the decision that you are now ashamed of. You don't need to tell me. I'm just asking you to think about that. What decision did you make? And you received the benefit at the time, and now you go, gosh, why did I do that? Well, you know what? I can't undo 2016. Guess what? It's gone. But you know what? We have a new slate. There was once a fourth grader, and a fourth grader was in geography class. And the fourth grader class, the test was only one question for the whole year. Draw the United States of America and list the states. Layla, did you ever have to do that in school? Right? Draw the United States, put the states, and put them correctly. That was the test. All year long, you know, they did all the songs, you know, learning all the states, and that was the test. And so the teacher passed out sheets of blank paper, paint, markers, all that kind of stuff, and so the kids could do anything they wanted, but they had to draw the United States and put the states. Everybody kind of get the idea? So they're about 15 minutes into the test, and this little boy in the back room, he's crying. The teacher's looking at him, and he's crying. So the teacher said, come here, come here. And so the kid gets his paper, he goes up to the teacher, and he says, why are you crying? Why are you crying? He said, I messed up my paper. I spilled paint on it. And sure enough, paint he had, dropped it over, and it was on half the paper. And the kid said, I don't want to fail the class. I don't want to fail the class, and I've ruined it. So the teacher took out a Kleenex and wiped away the kid's tears, and said, wait a second, now wait. She pulled open the top dress drawer, pulled out another sheet of paper, gave it back to the kid and said, now listen, this test isn't over yet. It's not over yet. Take the due sheet, do better this time. Don't mess up. Take your time. Make good choices. Do it again. Just go back and do it again. And so the kid went back to his seat and brushed away the tears, sat down and was very careful about making that map. He turned it in and the teacher said, excellent job. You get an A. And do you know God's like that? Because we go to him and we say, you know, I messed up my year. I messed it up, Lord. I messed it up. I was thinking I was doing good and I spilled stuff. I spilled junk on it and all this other goofiness that's going on in my life. I messed it up and I don't know what I'm going to do because I want to be good. And I messed it up and God said, whoa. This ain't over yet. Not over. And he pulls open the desk drawer in heaven and gives you another year. And he said, here's a new year. There's nothing on it. There's nothing on it. It's completely blank. Do better. Do better. But you know the unfortunate reality? Sometimes what we do is we take that new year and we write old stuff on it. Well, I don't want to make sure I put that one on her. That guilt thing, the thing I care, put that one on her. That's going to be on top of the list. And the other things I do, let's put now, what do you do that for? What should you do in a new year? Treat it new. Make different what? Choices. Make the choices that get you to where you want to be. God wants everybody in this room who have called upon his name to be holy. To be holy. Does anybody in this room know what to be holy means? We don't know, do we? We don't really. To be holy means to be separate. To be separated. God wants us to be holy as he is holy, which means we are to be what? Separated. Separated. Set apart. Sanctified. How many understand that? I was listening to the radio the other day, and Sissy listens to biblical teachings all day long, and I was listening. She had it on in the kitchen, and I was listening to it, and the pastor came on, and he said, what did God create on the second day? What did God create on the second day? I'm thinking, God, I should know that. That's the basic stuff, right? I'm going, oh my God, I don't know. But before I get to this passage of scripture, I'm going to ask you, what did God create on the second day? Let's take some shots at it. What do you think? Does anybody know?
It has to do with the sky.
What about the sky?
Yeah. Well, it's equal. There's the moon, there's the light and the darkness, and the moon and the stars and all that thing for the first couple of days.
Okay, you want to know why you don't know what he created? Because he didn't. He separated. Let's turn to the Bible to Genesis chapter 2. Just look, check it out. Genesis 1, 6 to 8.
And God said, let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water. So God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. God called the vault sky, and there was evening, and there was morning the second day.
He didn't create. What did he do? He separated. That's a good trivia question, huh? I know you all are home now and say that to somebody, hey, I'm smarter than you. What did God create the second day? I know some of you guys what you're going to do. Can't wait to get to work tomorrow. Talk about them Bible thumpers, huh? Hey, you're quite... God, the principle of separation. God separates the wheat from the tares. God separates the goats from the lamb. You think God separates? And he says to you, you need to learn the law of separation. You need to separate yourself from that which is wrong. You need to separate yourself from people that are trying to influence you going in the wrong direction. You need to separate yourself from things that you do and things you say. You need to separate yourself from those kind of things and to be holy. If you don't know where you're going, that's okay. If you don't know where you're going, you might wind up in the wrong place, right? God wants to separate you from the riffraff. God does not care about your happiness. God cares about your holiness. God doesn't make you happy and then you become holy. No, God says be holy and then you will become happy. Because you'll be on the right path. God says to every one of us, you know what? You need to be separate. You need to be set what? Apart. You need to understand that which is profitable and that which is not. And then you need to separate yourself from that which is not. Is your goal, is your purpose in life to be popular? Well, then you know what path to go, don't you? Hey, if you want to be popular, you know what road to take. How many knows what road to take if you want to be popular? You know what road to take. If you want to have a life of fun and games, hey, everything is perfect. You know what road to take. But if you want to be holy, you know what road to take too, right? Let's go to Matthew 6:2.
So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full.
Are you choosing the road to get you acclaim from man? Is that why you do what you do? Do you choose the path in life that's going to get you the most rewards? Is that what you do? Do you choose the path, the path that would get you all the attaboys? How many know what an attaboy is? Do you choose that path so you can be in with the buddies and with the friends? Do you choose that path? Is that the path you choose? Because that's your reward? Hey, here comes Joe. Hey, it's kind of like cheers. Right? Remember cheers? Somebody walks in the door, what do they say? Norm! Hey, I'm glad I go into a bar. If I ever do it, nobody knows my name. Think it through. Would you rather have, you know, there's your stole? You know? And people come in, oh, you can't sit there. Norm's on the way. Well, I guess it'd be a good path to walk and everybody say, hey, Norm! I suppose that would be a warm fuzzy, I guess, right? Everybody, hey, everybody knows my name. Isn't what Cheer said? Everybody knows my name. Isn't that what it says? You know what's better than that when you walk into a hospital and say, hey, Pastor Tom. Or maybe it's better. Instead of saying, hey, Norm, you walk into a room and somebody says, hey, Grandpa, I'm glad to see you. Or Dad, I'm glad you're home. How many know that's a better choice? Isn't it? What reward did you get at the time you made the decision that benefited you today? Let's turn to Matthew 7:13-14.
Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it.
How many's heard that passage before? How many practice it? Probably not many. There was a lobster fisherman in Maine And he was going out fishing at this one jetty. Had a bunch of rocks and all kinds of obstacles. And he took a bunch of people who wanted to go lobster fishing with them. He put them on the boat, and they're going, and the water's rough, and it's higher than normal, and they can't see, you know, where the rocks are. They can't see where the coral is. And a lot of people on the fishing boat kind of got excited because they knew they were there. They just couldn't see them now. And so they said to the fishermen, what if you hit a rock? What if we, you know, hit one of them jagged coral, rip the bottom of this boat? He said, it would be very bad if I do that. He said, but you can't see. How can you see where the rocks are? How can you see where the coral is? And he said to them, I can't. Oh, they got more freaked out than ever. What do you mean you can't see them? I can't see them. And they said, then you don't know where they are. He said, no, I have no clue where they are. And they're white knuckled on the boat. What do you mean you don't know where they are and you can't see them? He said, yeah, I don't know where they are and I can't see them. He said, well, how are you going to get us back? He said, because I know where they're not. I know where they're not. You see, what I mean by that is when you're going through life and you don't know where the obstacles are, well, then you better know where they're not. And when you're going to go make decisions in life, you say, boy, I hope that's going to be a good decision. Or I hope that's going to be a decision. Boy, I hope I don't. Then you ought not make that decision. You should make the decision when you know where you're going and you know the safe passage. How many say amen to that?
Amen.
There's some people that might say to me, you know, they're a recovering alcoholic. And they, you know, say to me, well, you know what? I'm going to start going back in the bars. I'm going to minister the gospel. Oh, really? Oh, really? Well, yeah, because you know what? I know all about that drinking thing. I'm just going to go in the bar and I'm going to minister to people at the bar. I said, How many say that's a bad choice? You want to minister to some? AA would be a good place for you to go. Because when you go into the bar and you're recovering alcoholic, guess what's in there? Oh, they're there. Make a good choice. Let me give you some things to think about in closing this message to you. You know, what does it mean, you know, to make the right decision? What does it mean, you know, to go through the narrow gate? Let me tell you something. If you're at a party and you'd be uncomfortable if Jesus walked through the door, guess what? Wrong path. Wrong path. If you're reading a book or watching a movie, or on the internet watching something, and Jesus walked in the door, and you get red in the face, guess what? Wrong path. Wrong path. If you're talking about somebody, especially a family member, like for example, a spouse, if you're talking about a spouse to somebody else, and Jesus was standing next to it, and you got embarrassed for what you said, guess what? Wrong path. If you are engaging in a business opportunity or a proposition, or you're the manager of a company or whatever, and you are trying to make a decision, and Jesus was the CEO of that company, he saw what you just did, and you are embarrassed, guess what? Wrong path. Wrong path. Well, maybe you might be saying to yourself, well, when he's coming, I won't do those things. Oh, really? But guess what? He's already here. He's already here. And guess what? Jesus said, I'm not going anywhere. Mary Magdalene taught us a song when we first joined the church many moons ago. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. For the Father up above is looking down in love. How many of you know you can't do anything that he doesn't see? You can certainly fool me. Anybody could do that. But you are not fooling him. Amen. In this life, brothers and sisters, you have to choose the right path. Narrow is the gate. Narrow is the path that leads to heaven. In closing, I found a quote. A couple years ago, a heavy metal musician made headlines. This guy's name is Brian the Head Welch, the founding member of the most successful metal bands ever called Korn. You guys ever hear of a band called Korn? Heavy metal. Heavy metal band, right? This is what he said. David the Head Welch, the founding member of one of the most successful metal bands ever, called Korn, they sold more than 25 million records worldwide. Brian wrote a book, and it changed him. He said he was introduced to Jesus. He said that before he met Jesus, his life had been filled with loneliness, depression, self-destruction, and an addiction to drugs you could never believe. He said, I was able to test drive this world. I got the fame and I got the money. I tried all the drugs you can imagine. I had all the women I could ever want and all of that stuff. When Christ touched me, none of that compared to how I felt when he loved me. There's a way that seems right to man that brings death. Now, I'm not just simply saying death to your body. I'm not saying that. There's a way and a road and a path that seems right, but it leads to death. Death of what? Death of relationships, for example. Death of relationships. Let me understand what I'm saying to you. Death of self-esteem. Death in the way you think about yourself. Death in financial ruin because you're not making good choices. At the time, it seems right. It seems right. How many understand this? They may never remember the good things you do, but they are sure going to remember the bad ones. Is that not true? You know how many lifetimes it might take to undo a bad one? Sometimes what? Never. There seems a right way to man, but it leads to destruction. But Jesus Christ said there is only one way that leads to salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the hearing of these words today. Everybody in this room have chosen the wrong path at times. We have. There's no question that we have. And we have to always, I guess, decide in our own hearts. Those things we receive because we made the wrong choices, to what benefit is it of us today? What benefit did we receive when we made that choice? What benefit did we receive when we chose that path? Is that benefit worth it now? I think not. I think not. And Lord God, I know in this church of strong believers but small in number, I'm pretty sure that no one's ever going to erect a statue in any of their names, including mine. And sissies, I'm sure we're not going to go to some town square and there'll be our statue. I'm sure there won't be. I'm sure there won't be. We'll never get that acclaim that from man, but then we shouldn't want it. The acclaim that we should want, Father God, is when you acknowledge us. When you say to us, as surely as you have said to Clyde last night, well done, Clyde. Well done, thy good and thy faithful servant. Well done. And all of God's people said, Amen.